Hey, the Mothman of Mount Pleasant, West Virginia. Here's a little insight into that.
And I thought, Lord, what can I do? This thing is here, this evil presence. And I turned my head to the right. I mean, I can still feel that, really. And there, this, to me, it was the devil, Mothman, standing there. And I tried to talk, and I couldn't. It was this awful, horrible feeling.
It did build in a crescendo. You know, there were more and more people looking for it. Word was getting out. So yeah, there was a kind of a media frenzy.
He saw that he wasn't losing it by going faster, and so he saw the turn that goes up into the TNT factory building. And I guess it come in his head at split second. If he turned up in there, it would keep going straight. But it did. He made that sharp turn, and it was still right there beside my window.
Craig, the Mothman turned 50. Now, why not put another stamp on this? People have been telling this story. It's been in Hollywood at different times, but we've got on the line with us a guy who has a special way of telling movies about monsters like this, Seth Breedlove. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Seth, we know you from the Minerva Monster, the Boggy Creek Monster. Why Mothman this time around?
I think I was bored with Bigfoot, to be honest with you. But it's, I think more than anything, it's the Mothman story has always really kind of attracted me. I think the Mothman Prophecies movie that came out back in 2002 had a big influence on me when I was younger, and it was like one of the few horror movies I actually enjoyed as a kid. So this was a story I really wanted to dive into, mostly because of the Mothman, but there was at least a sizable chunk of my interest in this came from the Silver Bridge collapse and the kind of personal tragedy that the town, you know, kind of endured for the last 50-some years.
We'll talk a little bit about that bridge collapse and the significance here with the Mothman.
Honestly, in all honesty, I'd have a very hard time connecting the Mothman himself to the Silver Bridge collapse. But that the Silver Bridge collapse, this is actually the 50th anniversary year of the bridge collapse. So December of next year will be the official 50th anniversary of the bridge collapse. But the bridge, you know, connected Gallipolis, Ohio to Point Pleasant. And on December, I want to say 15th, don't quote me on that day because I'm not 100% sure that's right. But in December, during, you know, heavy rush hour traffic, the bridge actually collapsed. And a number of cars went into the Ohio River and 46 lives were lost. And that was something I was fascinated by because when I was there last summer for their festival, they do like a yearly Mothman festival. And this past year, they actually had 12,000 people in downtown Point Pleasant, which is a town that only has about 3,000 people living there. So 12,000 people was kind of crazy to see crammed in that downtown area. But I was speaking with a local police officer who had been in town. He grew up in Point Pleasant, and he was going to school. He was in sixth grade when the bridge collapsed, and he had actually lost a classmate on the bridge. It was one of the two people whose bodies they never recovered. And he recounted the story to me about going out and planting a tree in her memory with his class. And while he was telling me the story, he got visibly, you know, choked up trying to recount it to me. And I think that was what kind of drew me to the story was I've never gotten to tackle a monster story that also had this very kind of personal element to it. And what I started thinking of was, well, instead of just making a movie that's solely about Mothman, let's make a movie that focuses on the 13-month period from the time the first kind of media frenzy began, where the Mothman sighting occurred, up into the collapse of the Silver Bridge, which was a 13 months to the day between the Scarberry Mallet sighting of the Mothman out at the TNT area to the collapse of the Silver Bridge.
What is the Mothman, or how would you describe it?
It's difficult. This is one of those questions that we get asked that's really difficult to say because there were multiple kind of physical descriptions given of this thing. We talked to a guy, his voice is in the beginning of the trailer, and he described it as a weird sort of shadowy person. But typically the most, what you'll hear typically as far as Mothman goes is that it was a 6 foot tall man-like bird with a 10 foot wingspan that would fly into the air. And sort of, you know, it was often recounted as having red glowing eyes and could fly up to speeds of 95 miles an hour. And what typically people associate it with is sort of a forebearer of a tragedy. And one of the cool things we found out during the making of the movie is that actually has a history all the way back to World War I. There were sightings of large birds preceding tragedies in the Point Pleasant area as far back as the World War I sort of era.
Seth, is there a thought then that the Mothman died in that bridge collapse? Because we haven't seen the Mothman, right, since 1967?
There have been sightings since 67 of Mothman. What I learned in talking to people from the town is that people say that what happened is when the bridge collapsed, people either stopped reporting sightings of the Mothman or the media didn't want to talk about it anymore. So it's not that it just disappeared overnight. There have been a handful of sightings since 67, but it definitely seems like, you know, in 67 when that bridge collapsed, the legend or sort of the mass hysteria surrounding the sightings kind of died, you know, with the bridge.
We're talking today with Seth Breedlove from Small Town Monsters, The Mothman Cometh. It's a movie that's still in, I guess, post-production, so you've got a Kickstarter campaign coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've run Kickstarter campaigns for our prior two movies, two of our previous three movies, we've run Kickstarter campaigns. And pretty much what we do is we run a crowdfunding campaign, which will kick off on February 2nd to fund a post-production of this particular movie, the Mothman movie, but it'll also fund production of our fifth movie, which we're making in Pennsylvania. And that one's about a UFO crash and kind of some weird activity on the Chestnut Ridge in Pennsylvania. You know, people will be able to back, which means they'll be able to make a pledge that'll go toward the funding of the movie, but they'll get, you know, T-shirts, and we have a Mothman statue this time around that people will be able to buy or, you know, get as part of the rewards for the campaign. But it's really cool because one of the, you know, this type of our take on these legends, these small town sort of urban legends, is very kind of ground level and grounded. We don't do a lot of like crazy recreations or the typical stuff you see on like TV anymore. And we actually have a very like 1970s In Search Of vibe to our movies. And I think that's one of the things people respond to. And it's why people are willing to back the movies when we're making them. So that's why we turned to crowdfunding.
Now, you mentioned that you had gone to the Mothman Festival, which is the third weekend in September. I see also on your calendar you probably were at the Minerva Festival the weekend before. Tell me a little bit about going to some of these type of things where a town like down here in West Virginia sort of embraces this legend and turns it into sort of economic development, yeah, kind of a thing for them.
We call it crypto tourism. If you have a local monster and it's a legend that you think you can, you know, help the community out with, you know, I always say embrace it by all means. Point Pleasant has become such a big deal and associated so closely with the Mothman because of Jeff Wamsley, who is the guy that actually curates the world's only Mothman Museum, which is down in Point Pleasant. And it's a really cool, like, little stop in the middle of downtown, and you can go in, and they have a gift store, and there's a museum with, and it's actually a really cool idea because what Jeff's done is what a lot of museums do. He's just historically documenting everything associated with the Mothman case. So you have the original newspaper clippings, you've got memorabilia and things connected with that story. But I think these stories are important to document. You know, whether or not you believe in the creature themselves, they're definitely a part of that town's history. And I think it's amazing to see a festival that started out with a few hundred people go from, you know, I think the first year you told me there was maybe 300 people to 1,200 people, and that's a low estimate, 1,200 people. I was there this past year, and you couldn't even cross Main Street. There were so many people. So they had, and then the Minerva Festival, that's actually a festival that I put on. So the Minerva Monster Day is something we did 2 years in a row. I don't believe we're doing it this year. We're going to try to do some sort of film festival at the Canton Palace Theater, basically sort of based around our films. The Small Town Monsters films. But yeah, I think there's definitely a great sort of tourism aspect to this.
Is there a resurgence in a sense to discover some of these legends? I mean, there's a lot of different cable channels that almost exclusively feature some things like this. Is there a new generation of people that are, you know, want to get acquainted to this? Or mm-hmm. what do you think the reason behind it? Maybe you're part of the draw to this too.
Well, I definitely think there's a resurgence in interest. You know, in the 70s, there were a lot of TV shows that focused on this, like In Search Of and that kind of thing. And I think in the last decade, the last like 5-10 years especially, we've seen interest grow on television and stuff. And that's great. Like, that's really cool that younger people, especially kids, are getting into this because of shows like Finding Bigfoot. But my issue with that kind of entertainment has always been, it's solely entertainment. You know, it's like, it's so overblown and silly. Usually you've just got people flying through the woods looking for monsters. And what we do is try to get to the actual reality behind the legends. So you know, when we make a movie, it's typically putting those witnesses on camera for the first time to let them tell the story for themselves. The tagline for our last movie, Boggy Creek Monster, was the truth behind the legend. And sort of we summed up that movie toward the end by saying there's almost no way for us to know 100% these things exist other than seeing them for ourselves. But the fun is in trying to find out, you know, trying to get to the truth behind the legends. And that's sort of what we're doing. And in a lot of these cases, we're putting people in places they would never get to go for themselves. So, you know, the deepest, darkest swamps of southern Arkansas or the peaks of the Adirondacks. Our goal is to sort of keep this history alive, these legends that do tend to, if they're not, you know, curated and taken care of, they do tend to fade away over time, or they become something completely different. So in kind of putting the people that live these cases on camera, I think we're at least doing our part to try to keep some of this local history alive.
How have you gotten better at telling these stories, going through these different films? Obviously, there's a similarity to them, but how have you gotten better doing that, do you feel?
I think you can track from Minerva Monster up to Boggy Creek Monster and see a definite development in obviously the basics of filmmaking, you know, just the camera work and the editing, but also just storytelling and figuring out how to document a case that's been dead for, you know, in this case, the story's been around for 50 years and it's been told so many times. Some of our other movies, like Minerva, had never been documented in a movie. But with the case of Mothman, it's been documented multiple times. I mean, one of the guys we talked to said that that he alone had been on camera 40 times. So there's at least 40 different Mothman documentaries out there. My challenge now with stories like this becomes, how do you tell it in a way it hasn't been told before? And also, you can't solely focus on that because then you're going to screw up your own storytelling method. But you have to tell the story in a way that it hasn't been done before, and also try to give people something they have not seen connected to the Mothman case, which is really difficult. But we've actually, if everything goes to plan as far as getting the original audio recordings that I'm trying to dig up, this movie will actually have the most original witnesses involved. And this would include people who have been dead for quite a few years. We've got some leads on audio recordings that I'm currently trying to get. But, you know, it's an a constant challenge to tell these stories in a way that isn't hokey and silly. And for a lot of people, the subject we're exploring is something they typically wouldn't look into at all. You know, we find that the very often people who watch our movies would not typically stop on a channel that was playing a Bigfoot show and watch the movie. But because of our approach to it, there is an interest in what we're doing that possibly we, you know, shows like that wouldn't typically get.
Right. And as you mentioned earlier, because there's also the bridge collapse that parts to it, there's a whole different element, maybe a different story to tell there along with this Mothman story that kind of brings a new perspective to the whole thing. When is the select? Do you have an idea of when the release date might be, or what you're looking for?
It's still a little ways off. It's June 2nd is the official release date, and then the kind of big screen debut will take place at the Mothman Festival that we were talking about down in Point Pleasant. So if you're like wanting to see it on the big screen, that'll be your best shot to do it. And then June 2nd is when it will, you know, release on DVD and Amazon. All our movies are available on Amazon and streaming on Vimeo or through our website. And then the Kickstarter kicks off on Thursday of this week.
Sounds good. Our guest this morning, Seth Breedlove with Small Town Monsters. You can find out more about them at smalltownmonsters.com. Seth, appreciate your time this morning. Always interesting to talk with you and see what you're up to. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks.